Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Hey, what's up? Hello. We are back with another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast presented by Breckenridge Brewery. As always, I'm Justin Michael. I'm your host. I'm here to talk about CSU. And today I'm joined by my good friend, Andre Simone, the man, the myth, the legend, Dr. Dre. What's up, dude?
Doing good. How are you doing? Thank you for that an outstanding intro. I appreciate it.
If I don't make it in sports, I'm going to try and be like a WWE commenter. And so I got to get really good at building people up.
That's a great skill to have, even if you don't go into WWE commenting. So I think you're right on the right track.
That's going to be my retirement job. Assuming that WWE is still a thing in like a billion years when I'm able to retire.
Who knows? But if nothing else, you'll be like a positive grandpa, you know, so that's nice. Building people up.
Well, it's better than the other kind of grandpa, I guess.
That's right. Yep. Better than the grumpy grandpa for sure.
The other night I had Andre on the podcast, and honestly, most of it was pretty solemn because it was right after the news that CSU football had to shut down for a COVID outbreak. As of right now, CSU's still shut down. Not really a lot of new information there. If you did miss that podcast, go and check it out. But the Rams had 8 positive confirmed tests as of 2 days ago. 9 more unconfirmed. Didn't look good. We'll have to see how that plays out. Like I talked about on the pod before, Boise State did shut down for 2 weeks. They were able to come back. Plenty of other schools have done the same. We'll just have to see. Andre, I got a question for you. You've been watching a lot of Steve Addazio at Florida, right? What stood out the most to you about that film? I didn't introduce this topic at all, but that's all right. We're just going to jump right into it.
Yeah. We should mention that we go back to the BSN Rams days, and that's where I was writing BSN Rams film rooms. And so, yeah, I'm just the film. That's one of the things I do around here is I'm the film guy. So it was fun going back and watching, you know, that's been the weird thing about these hiring cycles for CU and CSU is going back to watch 09 Florida and whenever the hell the UCLA tape I was watching for Carl Durrell. But it was a grip ago and it's like, wow, things have changed a lot in college football since then. But that would not... So if I was writing my piece and there was an overarching theme, I think the overarching theme would be how the Florida Addazio stuff right in that 09-10 years, so right at the tail end of the Tebow stuff, is that it's a nice mix of that new school power spread stuff. That's what any team ranked in the top 15, that's what they run. There might be one or two, like, you know, Leach disciples in there who are running more air raidy stuff, but Penn State, Bama, Clemson, USC nowadays, they're all just running power spread stuff. It's what Michigan's going to start running. It's what Urban Meyer and those, that whole Ohio State, you know, and dating back to Utah and Florida, that whole coaching tree have been running. It's what Memphis has been so successful at over the years. It's that power spread. So, you know, it's not full on air raid. We're doing three wide, sometimes four wide. We like to have those versatile tight ends. We've abandoned the fullback, and it's just 11 personnel, up tempo. We can run it up the gut. We're doing a lot of RPO stuff, so everything kind of feels like play action fakes. And, you know, it's just kind of run of the mill. And some of the stuff you see, and this is another overarching theme of Adazio in general, is in 09, they're doing a great job of playing to their strengths. And the strengths were Tim Tebow at quarterback, Aaron Hernandez as the tight end and H-back, and Pouncey Brothers pounding it up the middle and what have you. So they're doing a lot of almost old school triple option type stuff.
Dude, I swear, I'm just like looking at my notes and I'm like, oh, Andre covered it. Andre covered it. Andre covered it. But no, like you hit all of my major themes, which was essentially, you know, set everything up with the run. And you talked about that power spread. It's a lot of pre-snap movement. You've got a lot of misdirection, guys that are pretty much eye candy. You know, they don't really do a whole lot. And the thing that I really liked from a power running game and from an option standpoint, the way they used Aaron Hernandez, talk about a throwback. It felt so weird just like watching Aaron Hernandez and, you know, in a time where we didn't know any of that, the stuff that we obviously know now. And I'm not trying to make light of it all. It was just one of those like, wow, like the world is crazy situations. Right. But, you know, they used him, if you watch, they line him up out wide. They line him up almost as like a hybrid fullback type role.
Yeah.
They put him in the slot. Tebow did that shovel pass to him consistently.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff really excites me because CSU has a couple of really athletic tight ends. And I really think you could do stuff like that, you know, with Trey McBride, Cam Butler. It's just intriguing to see the ways that they were able to get the balls in the hands of their best players.
100%. And if they do go more like that, in general, they're doing a lot of stuff, as you're pointing out, with the tight end being able to move them into the backfield. Kind of like a fullback, you know, that H-back type role, move them around, lots of pre-snap stuff, or even flexed out into the slot. McBride's going to be great with that. And then from the slot, lots of little pitches, shovel passes. With an H-back, that's where they're doing more of the triple option, you know, fake toss here, give it here. So it's almost like some, for any fan who's ever thought like, man, why don't we just like, give Troy Calhoun like a boatload of money and just embrace like the option and just like be one of four schools in D1 who run option football and just be that. Just be like a 7-8 win team every year. You can do a lot of that with what Adazio has done from his Florida background. But what's exciting is what you can do with the other slot and what you can do with a playmaker like Dante Wright out of this scheme. Out of the backfield in tight from the slot. It's a lot of those jet sweep fakes, you know, and that window dressing you're talking about. And it's, you know, fake, 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 and pound it up the middle and you're exhausted. Next thing you know, that fake isn't a fake anymore. And now you gave up on covering the outside because you're so committed to plugging those middle gaps and you're getting gashed. And, you know, just his speed factor out of the backfield is going to be just massive in general, but it's really going to fit this scheme 100%.
The one thing we should bring up is that, you know, Tim Tebow is not your average quarterback. You know, his athleticism was such a big factor in everything that they were able to do because the threat of him running and keeping it himself is what was able to set up a lot of those power sweeps to the outside. In that game that we watched specifically,
against Les Miles, number 4 ranked LSU Tigers, and a defense that had NFL studs.
Phenomenal. Just talent all over the field. Yeah. You know, they actually, what made that offense so successful that day, they were just running the dive down their throat over and over again. And it got to a point where finally LSU, you know, they committed to it. And then they just run a little play action and take you over the top. And when you have, you know, wide receivers like Warren Jackson and Ty Nicole, Dante Wright, all these people that are, you know, potentially just going to be running wide open down the field if you have the quality offensive line play to make this all work.
Well, but it goes back to a point you made early on. It all starts off of the run. Everything's predicated off of the run from those Florida days. And again, that's playing to their strengths. And what you're saying about Tebow is absolutely true. But it forces defenses to really be so assignment sound, similar to defending against the triple option in teams like Air Force. Man, you got to be so sound on each assignment because that commitment to the run forces you to dedicate more defenders in the box. And then it presents outside one-on-one opportunities. Any time that corner or safety is peaking in the backfield because of that RPO look that's inevitably coming on 98% of pre-snap, you know, not pre-snap, but that's what's coming to start it off. It makes it essentially a play action look that as soon as that corner peeks into the backfield, boom.
That's all you need.
It's a house call. And that's how Riley Cooper scores a touchdown in that LSU game. And, you know, man, you think about Warren Jackson being in those type of situations and that's pretty exciting, you know.
God, that Florida offense was just, it had to be so frustrating to defend, you know, everything we're talking about with that pre-snap movement, with all the motions that they would do. They send everybody out in so many different ways. And I also like that you brought up Air Force because that was one of the thoughts that I had while watching this game was, I wonder if Steve Adazio and how much experience he has, you know, with all this type of motion offense and using the triple option and stuff. Maybe that's going to make him a little more prepared to face somebody like Troy Calhoun. Now, I will say, I don't think there's any substitute for facing Air Force because they just run it to perfection. Everything, you know, out of that wishbone and the dive stuff, and it's all about discipline and staying sound. But, I mean, Bobo couldn't stop it to save his life. So maybe Adazio will be the savior that CSU needs for the Air Force rivalry.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing about stuff like that is... you know, knowing how to coach it and simplifying the principles of coaching it can also kind of help you in coaching up players and how to stop it. And just because really the key is simplifying things and getting guys dialed in on their specific assignment.
Exactly.
You know, eliminate the not, because when you're doing that, it can be very, very easy to stop. But boy, that, you know, that's a heavy task, and you gotta really play clear-headed and fast, and just like no mistakes. One missed tackle could be the end of you. You know, it's just so so precise there. But yeah, who knows? Maybe that could be the case. But it does have a lot of those same elements in. It's going to stress your defense. You got to be ultra disciplined. I mean, you're just going to be bludgeoned with play action and RPO looks and. Those can get annoying and it's easy to want to cheat, but as soon as you do that at the wrong time, things are going to go the wrong way, you know? And I had the same note. It allowed Tebow, well, they're doing a lot of dives, but then it also opens up the middle of the field.
Totally. And you saw Hernandez take advantage of that constantly.
Exactly.
Just wait for the linebackers to clear out and then you just drop them in and you can just... you know, kill defenses 8, 10, 12 yards at a time. It's not necessarily going to be a house call, but it's just moving the sticks constantly. And then you try to commit to the tight end and then you hit somebody over the top on the outside. It's just, you got to be so disciplined when you have this much movement, when you have so many playmakers, that obviously makes a big, you know, difference as well. It's one thing to call these plays. You got to have the kind of guys that can read a defense and know how to use the space on the field and all that. And Florida definitely had that in spades. But
yeah,
I think CSU
sure.
is going to be pretty set up. It's a pretty ideal situation with the experience that they already have.
Definitely. It'll be interesting to see how they adjust to the strengths of the personnel they have now, because attacking the middle of the field again with those playmakers like Dante Wright, Trey McBride will make a lot of sense, because if they have to respect the run, those linebackers are really stressed. I mean, no group is more stressed than that. And you're just freezing them. So in that split second where they're frozen, you know what route he's running. They don't know. So all that throws the timing off to where it opens up those spaces over the middle. That's a note I had. At the end of the day, it's Urban's offense. It plays to the team's strengths. This was the strength of that team. the Pouncey brothers look insane. You know, it's all gap scheme, power running. We're overloading one gap. Guards are pulling and doing that, coming downhill. It's a beautiful thing to watch. And then it's a lot of incorporating that kind of O-line movement in these fakes as well. So these linebackers are reading a pulling guard and thinking, well, it has to be a run.
Exactly.
And moving over here, and all of a sudden that opens up space to the opposite side because the linebacker is cleared out because he's following the guard, and you can toss it off. You know, that's where those shovels are opening up and these little running back curls and what have you. So if you get that, and that's very like Andy Reid and the Chiefs, that's what Lincoln Riley and mm-hmm. Oklahoma's doing. I mean, this is stuff they were doing in 09, you know, 11 years ago. So it's pretty impressive stuff to watch. He's definitely been influenced from some, you know, extraordinary offenses. Now, I do have a note in here that with Tebow, as good as he was, as much as he made that offense tick, Tebow did make that offense pretty one-dimensional.
Oh yeah, and you saw that in the 2009 SEC title game against Alabama, mm-hmm. because Alabama completely took away the run from Florida, and yep. you know, they forced Tebow. They're like, you can spread it out, it's fine, but you're going to have to pick apart our defenders. And you know, Alabama infamously, they're going to go man most of the game. They're going to challenge mm-hmm. you. They're going to make you make tight throws and windows. And Tebow really, he couldn't do it. And in kind of in hindsight, that probably should have been, you know, an indication for NFL scouts, like, this guy's not a true pocket passer, can't make the throws. But man, was he exciting when he was moving with his legs.
Totally. I mean, but even in the LSU game, it's like, man, a note I have is tons of one-on-one opportunities, like just like nonstop. But it's a lot of those same dives for 2-3 yards up the middle where it's like, yeah, I don't know if that was a keeper, dude. I think you should have thrown on that RPO. So, you know, I'm excited to see what a better thrower like O'Brien can do in this kind of offense.
Definitely. I am curious to see, like, will CSU use a lot of these RPO principles, because O'Brien can move around a little bit, but, you know, I do think he's successful at throwing on the run and using play action and all that, but you know, let's be real, he's not a threat to tuck it and run for 30 or something like that. You don't have to worry about him trucking at linebacker like Tebow or anything. They did bring in Todd Senteo, who's a Temple transfer, and he's more of like a dual threat. So they might have some packages for him and stuff like that. But you got to be careful there, because, you know, if you only run it with him, obviously defenses are going to key in on that, and you can only do it so many times. But it's going to be really interesting, because you know, they did such a good job of taking advantage of the talent that they have. And you even saw it at Boston College, because the offense that they ran at BC, nothing like what they were doing at Florida. Absolutely nothing like it.
Yep. Yeah, no, I mean, there it's much heavier sets. It's a lot more two tight ends. It's everyone stacked on the line. Almost look like jumbo sets sometimes, you know, like with a 6-0 lineman. And that's, again, the strength of those teams at BC, the O-line, the tight ends, the running backs, you know, and quarterbacks who could run. So that was their bread and butter. And it was a lot of simpler east-west throwing, not as much north-south throwing, not as much vertical throwing, and just trying to get the ball into these playmakers of all shapes and sizes, you know, whether it's the running back and A.J. Dillon, whether it's trying to run it with their running quarterback when Anthony Brown was there, or trying to get it to their tight ends. It's just trying to get the manufacturer easy touches and see if those playmakers can create yak.
I really, really enjoyed watching A.J. Dillon. Like, in hindsight, I wish I would have watched some more Boston College, just because that dude is a beast. He's got some size to him. You know, he runs physical, but he's so quick, and they did such a good job of, you know, using those power sets to get some sweeps to the outside and, you know, pulling a guard and having them take out the linebacker. And, you know, I do think we will see some of that with CSU, because Adazio's talked a lot about, you know, they got to establish the run. CSU just hasn't successfully ran the football now in about 3 years. And if they're going to be able to do anything through the air, it's all going to come down to running the ball and improved offensive line play.
Totally. No, and I mean, you're right about Dylan. They use him nicely. And again, it's playing to your player's strengths. That's a guy who came in as a true freshman at running back and instantly was a star in the ACC. So the last 3 years, they built that offense around that kid and really, you know, let him ride it away. And they've produced some really high-end offensive linemen. Chris Lindstrom, who was a first rounder, went to the Falcons. Their left tackle's a redshirt sophomore and true, you know, he's been a starter for the last 2 years, high-end starter in the ACC. He's going to be a highly regarded prospect coming out. That's kind of what you found there. A little more trick passes. That's how you're manufacturing the deep throwing game. And it's, you know, still some of that pre-snap window dressing. It was coming off reverses and triple reverses, kind of, you know, to manufacture some big plays, especially when you're watching them against teams like Miami or Clemson, where they were clearly outmanned and they're just trying to even the playing field here, you know.
That's one of the things I wrote down. They weren't afraid to get creative. This was actually something that I found with Joey Lynch at Ball State as well. And we'll talk about him a little bit more down the line or later in this episode, I should say. But when they were playing a team like Miami, like Clemson, which clearly had, you know, the athletic advantage and the size advantage, they did stuff like that. You know, they did reverses, they did double passes, they did. And I was actually surprised how much success they had with it. To be honest, like they did a really good job of one, using those to keep the defense off balance, but two, picking the time to actually do them, because it's one thing to call a trick play, but you got to be able to do it in the right moment. You got to be able to read the game. And that's one thing that Adazio really seems to be able to do, is kind of feel the flow of the game.
Yeah, I'm with you. Another note I had with him at BC was, you know, still tons of play action, still kind of the run initiates everything, but more adaptable, more short to intermediate game, more crossing routes. Mesh was a big part of it. You know, having those double crossing routes over the middle, which is a big staple of, you know, the air raid and stuff. So it just seemed like rather than just relying on freezing the second level because we have Tebow and going more over the top of linebackers or getting on little comebackers and stuff, we're just trying to manufacture, you know, open guys up schematically to create stuff for our quarterback and adjust to the fact that we don't have the same superstars on our offense, you know.
And as much as people, you know, they're not going to necessarily be excited by some of the stuff that Steve Adazio did at Boston College. I think it might've been Clemson. There was a point where it was third and long and the home fans were booing and the commenters made a comment about how Adazio's even said, you know, I don't care if fans boo, you know, I'm not going to force something in a winnable game on third and long when it's still in control. He's a guy who, yes, he will get creative. He'll bust out, you know, the end around, the double pass, the sweep and stuff like that. But it's going to be a very strategic decision. You know, it's not going to just be like every, you know, we're going for it. It's third and 15 or it's fourth and three. We got to make a play. They're willing to go for the win, but they're not just like out there with no regard. You know, it's not a Memphis situation where it's just like chaos.
Right, right. He's all about trickeration and deception, but he's not trying to do anything desperate, you know.
And I think that says a lot about how they, you know, viewed their teams. They felt they were, you know, they could win those games. Yeah, it was an uphill battle, but it wasn't a situation where like, oh man, we gotta get two double reverses here and we're gonna have to hit a couple of deep bombs downfield if we're gonna have any chance. It was just, you know, we're gonna have to make some plays, but mostly we're gonna do what we do.
Right. Yep. Yeah. No, it's encouraged, certainly less flashy. But they made it work. They made it work. And I think with more wide receiver talent and a quarterback with, you know, a really talented arm who can get downfield often, it'll be interesting to see how they adjust. And I think some of the keys to how they adjust are right there in the offensive coordinator.
No, exactly. And we'll talk about that in just a second here. I do got to talk about our partners over at DraftKings before we talk about Joey Lynch, though. Andre, what have you been betting on lately that you've had the most success with?
Incredibly baseball. I'm kind of finding, you know, baseball, it's so volatile on a game-by-game basis. You know, Sure, the Yankees are much better than the Marlins, but often the Marlins will win one game. You know, that's just baseball. It's kind of random. So underdogs in baseball, especially finding the right time to bet on a on an underdog in baseball, has been going nicely for me. Rockies strikeout over for pitchers, especially Herman Marquez, have been going really nice. And the Rockies in general have been very profitable of late.
It's always fun when you can bet on your home teams. I do recommend, you know, don't necessarily always just bet with your heart, because that makes losing that much more bitter, because your favorite team lost and you lose financially. But when you hit, whoo, it feels good.
Feels great. So true.
Anyways, the final 22 teams have made their way down to Orlando and are ready to get back out on the court. While the ending to this year's basketball season will be different than years past, there will not be a shortage of excitement. There's no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, the top-rated app. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings is offering all users a special odds boost for the first 3 days of the season. Bet $20 to win $100 on any team of your choosing. So clutch. I did this. I know Andre did this. Hopefully all of you took advantage of this. It's super easy to take advantage of these offers. All you got to do is sign up, navigate to the promotions tab within the app. If you don't get your bet in before the game, don't stress. You can do live betting throughout the game. Also a lot of fun. Kind of risky. I'm not very good at it, but it's fun. DraftKings Sportsbook is US-based, making it safe, secure, and reliable. Plus, super easy to deposit and withdraw your funds whenever you want. Gotta love that. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code DNVR when you sign up. For a limited time, all users can get a special odds boost to bet $20 to win $100 on any team of your choosing. That code DNVR and you can boost yourself to bet $20 to win $100. Clutch! Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms and conditions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. I always wondered how the auctioneers do that stuff, where they can just speak for seconds on end and still come out with some diction.
It's a talent. It's a talent, all right.
I definitely don't have a career as a professional rapper. We'll just say that.
Yeah, for the best. For the best.
Andre, I got to give my DraftKings pick of the week. I'm thinking of going with the Rockies. I like John Gray against San Diego tonight. I know the Padres are off to a hot start.
Yes.
Am I crazy for going that?
No, I'm all about this. I've been pounding the table for the Padres being overrated and the Rockies being underrated. You know, you like your chances getting a guy like John Gray on the mound. Yeah, I think now's a good time to pounce.
You heard it here, guys. Rockies money line. Take advantage. That's my DraftKings pick of the week. DraftKings pick of the week. Boom. All right, let's talk about Joey Lynch and Ball State, because I do think he is going to be a big influence on this offense. Obviously, he's the OC, so no duh. But I just think it matters because, you know, when Adazio got hired, everybody was freaking out. Oh, no, the death of wide receiver U, Warren Jackson, Dante Wright, all these great guys. We're not going to take advantage of them. What the hell are we doing? And then Adazio goes out and he hires Joey Lynch, a former quarterback, an offensive coordinator / associate head coach at Ball State. Kind of interesting because he left his alma mater. I imagine it's a career move. Figured he'd gone as high as he could there. Or maybe he was worrying about the other head coach getting fired. None of that, you know, matters for what we're talking about now. But when I watched Ball State, the thing that jumped out to me, not quite as much of like a pre-snap movement. It wasn't necessarily as flashy, but there was a lot of variety in what Lynch was running at Ball State. You know, they would run some single back pro style stuff. They would spread it out with, you know, three wide receivers. What jumped out about Joey Lynch to you?
Man, at first when I watched it, I was like, oh, he's the perfect complement to Adazio. He's going to be great. You know, he's going to be great for O'Brien and Warren Jackson and maintaining more of the, you know, passing heavy stuff because it's more pure spread, up tempo, 3-4 wide guys, lots of 11 personnel. Everything's out of the gun. Everything's RPO. And then, you know, it's more simplified passing concepts, more half-field reads, just like up tempo, get it out. And, you know, sooner or later, they're going to break down and we're going to find big plays. But then you start seeing a little more under center stuff and you start to see, you know, them running it out of under 11 personnel and running it with power. That same kind of downhill gap scheme, running it north and south, you know, and like real big boy football, which was like, okay, this is why he's a Dazio's guy. He can mix both those things, you know, and I think that's pretty exciting to see more pro style stuff that we almost is almost like foreign to the college game nowadays, but still see that spread stuff that's just the norm in college football and is going to be like, it's going to be just perfectly suited for the real strengths of this passing attack. Got me pretty exciting, especially that Toledo game and thinking up and down that was for the Rams last year and how they just served, you know, Toledo.
It was like 38-0 at halftime.
They just abused them. Was really eye-open. Really, really eye-open.
And that Toledo game in particular was kind of a perfect example of what we're talking about. You know, they would come out one set and they'd run, you know, a bunch of power, just basically, you know, halfback power type stuff, right? Yep. And they'd do it 3-4 times in a row, just busting you for 8, 9, 10 yards. And then they'd take you over the top vertical. And then they'd come out the next series and they'd be running out of the gun with 3 wide receivers and a tight end. And they're, you know, trying to go downfield a little bit more. I think it could be kind of a good mix with the Dazio. Like you said, it's good to see the power run game. You need to have some similarity and just a vision for what an offense should be. Yes. And it seems like just from what we've watched, Adazio and Lynch see the game in a very similar way.
Yep.
But just given that CSU has all this wide receiver talent, I do like, you know, that you have like a former quarterback calling plays, somebody that, you know, still wants to sling the ball a little bit.
No, totally. And I think can really complement Adazio and that more O-line heavy focus that he has on his game for sure, you know. And I see stuff like a formation I really liked, which was like, man, this is nice and aggressive. He goes, you know, 4 vertical routes and a 4 spread, and then the running back just pops out. So, you know, they're attacking. And yeah, it's big boy power football, but it's different from the big boy power football that Adazio runs, which is more like option oriented and, you know, 2 guys out the backfield. This is more just like, hey, we're lining up under center and we're going to come and hit those gaps and we're coming downhill. So be ready because we're going to gash you if you're not, you know, and some trick plays here as well, you know. First, a throw off a reverse and then like a triple reverse for a touchdown here. So another area where they both know to pick their spots and when to kind of hit for those big, you know, big shots.
That was one of the things I always appreciated about Jim McElwain's play calling. Jim McElwain would get really quirky at times. He was never worried about, you know, busting out something that, you know, it might be kind of a gamble, but sometimes it's just worth it. You got to do stuff like that. I think both of these guys, they have some of that, you know, creative riverboat gambler type personality in them, but it's not so much that, you know, it's not a Mike Leach situation like we were going over earlier. I'm pretty intrigued by everything that we watched. I wish we would have done this podcast like a week ago before football got shut down, because all I keep thinking about is, God, I want to watch these offenses in action.
No, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's, you know, just watching Adazio, I did wonder a bit, like, all these prognosticators that are high on the Rams, I get why you'd be high on the Rams when you look at that talent on offense, but you do feel like, maybe the strengths aren't lining up here. But then you watch Lynch, that was really like, okay, we've got all bases covered here. This talent is really going to strive.
I do think running back will be a big position for CSU this year. You know, can Marcus McElroy be the running back that the Rams fans hoped he would be? There were flashes of it. You know, he played really well against Fresno State last year, a couple other moments as well. But I do think it'll be a situation where you see some of these younger backs, you know, Christian Hunter, they signed a guy, Kywan Herndon out of Florida, got him to flip over Maryland. Maybe he gets some action. We'll just have to see. I do think, you know, whoever is able to make a name for himself at running back this year is going to play a big part of CSU's success.
Yeah, running back, O-line, keys to this offense, really.
Definitely, definitely so. Andre, I appreciate you so much for hopping on with me today. I know you've got dad duty. I know you've got a... Andre's such a great dad. Honestly, like, this has nothing to do with the podcast, but I just want to shout him out for being a kick-ass dad. Need to be more dads out there like Andre.
I appreciate it. Thanks for coming. I got to run or I have become a bad dad. So thanks, man. Always a pleasure. I'm really glad we could do this, though. This was a blast.
Me too. Peace, buddy.